The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Get ready for Let's Just Talk with Katherine Riker, sponsored by
Backwell, Dan Perkins, Mandel Brown Plastic Surgery, Next Stage, IDI Dentistry, iMarketing, Clay Harlan with United Real Estate, A Private Place Reflexology, Inbalance Body Therapy, Paulo, a modern jeweler, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, and Ultimate Air Shuttle.
On W4CY.
Hi, this is Katherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. You know, Next Stage, hemodialysis and Next Stage is part of our sponsorship, and we love them to death. And we have today one of their wonderful people that is a patient spokesperson, and his name is Alfonso Jefferson. And he's been on frequent home hemodialysis with Next Stage since 2010. And prior to home hemodialysis, he did 8 years on traditional, three times weekly in-center dialysis. And also he had experience with peritoneal dialysis. Since starting Next Stage therapy, he has had significant benefits, including increased energy, better blood pressure, control with fewer meds, an end to restless leg syndrome, less depression, and quicker recovery time. And Alfonso just participated in a 200-plus mile tour, DaVita bike rides, for many years. Alfonso says that he was in the center. He was not aware of more frequent HHD therapy, and he wants to ensure other patients are educated to consider this option. Welcome to our show today. How are you, Alfonso? Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Let's talk a little bit about how and when your kidney when your kidney disease started.
It began when I was about roughly around 21 years old is when I found out that my kidneys were failing. I was in the Army when I got the news.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
shock.
Quite a blow.
Mm-hmm. And how did you find out you were going to need dialysis? Through the military?
Yes, ma'am. As I was being transitioned out, it was explained to me that my kidneys were failing, around 20-something percent, I think it was at the time, and that I would be needing dialysis in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, being a young man and being a soldier serving in the Army, it was really hard for me to kind of grasp that because I felt I was in, you know, pretty
great shape. Great shape, huh?
Yeah. Pretty
yeah.
decent shape.
And then all of a sudden you find out, what happened here, right?
Yeah. All of a sudden, everything I thought was to be correct was incorrect, and I wasn't actually in as great a shape as I thought.
So what triggered it? Because I know what triggered my brothers and my aunts. What triggered yours that you had
I'm one of the, unlucky souls, and I have an actual kidney disease. It's called polycystic kidney disease.
And what is that?
So eventually, this was going to be my fate.
That was going to be your fate. So
yes, ma'am.
So how and when did you go on to dialysis?
Well, even though they let me know at the age of 21, I didn't, of course, believe them. So I, after being transitioned out of the military, went about living my life as a normal citizen. And I got a job, and after working a little while, I decided to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually when I started college when I realized that I better go and, I guess, see what these guys are talking about, because I started to, you know, not be able to think quite as clearly. Mm-hmm. It seemed to be tired all the time, not getting, you know, good sleep, and retention of water, just all the normal signs and symptoms. And then I went in, of course, had my access, which is a fistula placed in my left arm for them to do the dialysis. And I guess I got a little chickened out from the whole process and ran away again and went back to school and just kind of buried my head in the sand.
What did you do with the fistula?
Pardon?
What did you do with the fistula?
It just stayed in my arm. I just didn't use it.
So how old were you then?
By the time I started, I was 23 years old.
22. So when did you decide that you really needed to do this?
Well, I will remember that morning for the rest of my life. I was asleep in bed and woke up around 5 a.m. and I couldn't breathe. I was struggling to get just the tiniest bit of air, and I was walking around my apartment thinking, you know, okay, you know, maybe these guys were not wrong, and I should have listened to them. And I got myself dressed, and I drove myself to the hospital. The only problem was I had moved an hour and a half away, so I drove myself an hour and a half to the hospital, passing numerous medical facilities, including a VA hospital, on my way to the hospital where I had been seen once I gotten out of the Army. So that was definitely a bonehead move on my part.
Just a minute. Hold on a second. Okay. Ruthie, who is it? I'll take this out just a second. Okay. Take that out, please, the editor. Thank you. You finally ended up in the hospital. Is that what you said?
Yes, I went to the VA hospital, and that's why I began my very first dialysis treatment.
Right. And you know what? That's what happened to my brother. Same thing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it finally hit him, and he had to do it. So the VA hospital started you, and you were, tell me the different options that you tried.
Well, of course, when I started in 1997 at the VA hospital, you know, they didn't really give me any options at all, you know. They just showed me my chair, and I went and sat, and there I sat. I stayed in the VA hospital for maybe a year or even 2 years before I went out into the community when they gave me the option. Mm-hmm. And I spent 9 years doing traditional dialysis, and I finished college during traditional dialysis, which was definitely not easy. And after college, I was looking for a career, and I became a real estate agent.
Oh, you did? I have my real estate agency.
It would afford me the hours to do my dialysis and not necessarily have to report to a boss, and and I could have my own little business. So I became a real estate agent, which was great. I enjoyed doing that as well. But in that process, I kind of shifted over to becoming a real estate investor, and I bought my first investment property and started to rehab it, myself and my father. And my wife, and we were rehabbing it, but the traditional dialysis was getting in the way of me being there to get work done.
So you reached out and did what?
I went to peritoneal dialysis after that because I needed something that give me the time to be able to do what I needed to do and not have to report to a dialysis clinic. So I spent the next 4 years doing peritoneal dialysis and kind of building my real estate investment business. And during that time, I did get a terrible infection, which was devastating to me. I honestly thought it was my time to go. It was so bad.
But God wanted you not to go. He wanted you to stay, right?
Yes.
He did.
Correct.
He did. He did. He wants to keep angels on earth, you know that, to help other people get through it.
I believe in, and believe me, at the time when I was going through it, and it was so harsh, and I was wondering why, and of course now I realize why that happened. You know, it led me to next stage, because they had to remove my peritoneal dialysis catheter, and they told me that I had to go back to a traditional dialysis center, and I told them that I would not do that. Because I had, you know, gained some freedom and, you know, just the ability to live my life the way that I wanted to, and I didn't want to do that. And that day, a young lady, she's a rotating, kind of a floating technician, handed me the next day's brochure.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, what is this? She said, you would be great for this, because she could see the despair in my face.
And you were how old by that time?
By that time, I was probably about 35 or 6.
36.
At that time, yeah. Wow. And I was right in the middle of living a pretty good life.
And on that note, we are going to talk more about your next stage experience right after these messages, okay? We're going to take a short break on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk, and we're on the phone with Alfonso Jefferson, who is a spokesperson, patient advocate for Next Stage. We'll be right back after these messages.
Catherine will be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Love cooking, baking, and working in the kitchen, home, or garden? Have you ever realized two hands just aren't enough? You need Bagwell, the sealable bag holder. Bagwell is like having an extra set of hands when pouring, scooping, storing, or packing anything from leftovers to Legos. This incredible four-pronged bag holder keeps your sealable bag open so you can fill it with your need. Then close the bag and you are ready to go. I keep one in my kitchen, hobby room, and kids' room. Check out Bagwell at www.thebagwell.com.
Are you or someone you love living with chronic kidney disease or on dialysis? Next Stage may be able to help you live a healthier, longer life with more frequent home hemodialysis. Home hemodialysis is a different way of doing hemodialysis. Instead of going to a dialysis center, home hemodialysis with Next Stage System 1 is performed in the comfort of your own home. The System 1 offers flexible therapy options, including performing your treatments during the day or at night while you sleep, allowing you to spend your day your way. Talk to your doctor to see if home hemodialysis is right for you, or call one of our patient consultants to learn more about your treatment options at 888-200-6456. The Next Stage System 1 is a prescription device. All forms of hemodialysis, including treatments performed in-center and at home, involve some risk. In addition, there are certain risks unique to treatment in the home environment and specific to nocturnal use. Patients differ, and not everyone will experience the reported benefits of more frequent home hemodialysis. Call 888-200-6456.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
We're back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk, and we have the honor of having, and I forgot to thank you for your service, Alfonso, especially now. But you have been, are you a patient advocate, correct, for Next Stage? And we were talking about, prior to the break, we were talking about your experience with this technician who had given you information about Next Stage hemodialysis program. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So what did you think about it?
Honestly, I took it home. I read it. And I said, I want this, like, now, like, immediately. You know, and honestly, the only real reason I wanted it was because I did not want to go back into a traditional dialysis setting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I barely even paid attention to all the health benefits. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about not having to go back to traditional dialysis.
Is there a chance for, you know, you're becoming better and better, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think eventually you'll be able to get a transplant, maybe?
I actually could probably get a transplant tomorrow. I've just never asked for one. I've never been on the transplant list.
Mm-hmm. Actually, this hemodialysis, the home hemodialysis is a wonderful, wonderful program. How did you feel on the Next Stage one when you finally, how did you feel physically, emotionally, mentally, and sexually? How did you feel about it?
I can tell you, it was probably within a week when I realized that this was definitely not, you know, normal dialysis, I guess, you know. I was sleeping, and I hadn't had a really good night's sleep in probably 10 years.
Wow.
You know, I was actually going to bed at bedtime, and, you know, my routine, I would wake up every 2 hours, you know, like clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I was going to bed at bedtime and waking up in the morning and waking up refreshed, you know, actually feeling like you have, you know, gone to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, and it used to be so frustrating. You'd be in the bed 8 hours, but you feel like you're just as tired in the morning as you did when you went to bed. And this was just a change for me. And all of a sudden, I had to, you know, I just had energy to.
That you've never had before.
Yeah. It was weird. I was actually looking for things to do.
Wow. Now, let me ask you a question. How often do you do home hemodialysis today?
I do my treatments are 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm. And for how long? For how long usually?
My prescription is for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. So you feel absolutely, if you did it, could you do it 7 days a week if you wanted to?
Well, you do it according to the prescription that the doctor gives.
Uh-huh.
There are patients who do need 7 days a week.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But the whole point was to find a way to, I guess, optimize the health benefits of dialysis without burning out the people that were doing it. You know, you do anything for 7 days a week and it's going, you know, you're going to get burned out.
Okay, so when do you usually do it? In the morning, the afternoon, the evening? When do you do it?
Generally, for me, evening time.
Mm-hmm.
I sit down around 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the evening. It's because by then, you know, the day is pretty much over. We've had dinner. We've done things, you know, that you need to do with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And the day is really just winding down.
Mm-hmm. Mentally, how did it affect you?
Well, of course, having to not go back in center, that was the first big thing that made me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got instantly depressed when I thought I had to go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so giving me that freedom back was great.
How does your family feel about it?
Oh, man. Well, that's always the thing about, you know, when you're dealing with family, they're always so worried about you as a patient.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and they don't necessarily understand all the nuances of dialysis. Mm-hmm. And but because I had already done peritoneal dialysis at home, mm-hmm. me doing home hemo was not really that big of a leap. And, you know, everyone was just about, like, whatever you need to do to feel better and whatever you want to do, we have our support.
How does it change your sexual, your life, your sexual, your love life?
That is, of course, extremely important because traditional dialysis robs a person, man and woman, that regardless of age, of your desire. And that's a hard thing, and it is a hard situation on a lot of families, lots of couples. Mm-hmm. And for me, getting on Next Stage, it just improved everything. I mean, within the first month, mm-hmm. that's when I really started to get, like, oh my gosh, me back. You know, the me, the person that's inside that wants to come out and be out, it finally came out, and I was able to
express yourself,
my desire, and my my ability sexually just it changed exponentially.
That's great. I'm really excited about that because that's a very, especially for, you're still a very young guy.
Fairly so, yes, ma'am.
Fairly so. Yeah. You're talking to a wild 72-year-old who doesn't act her age, doesn't look it or feel it. And my dad, he had kidney disease, just to let you know. Mm-hmm. And he had kidney stones. He died at 65. So, you know, it probably would have been worse for him mm-hmm. eventually. He would have probably been on dialysis. But, and, you know, it's in my family. So, you know, we're always looking. So you're married, am I right?
Pardon me?
You're married?
Yes, ma'am.
And you have children?
Yes, ma'am.
And that helped, didn't it? To have those children?
Hey, well, yes, see. We tried for a long time to have children, and we kind of gave up. Didn't think we would. And here I am now. I've been, here I am at 43, and I have a 5-year-old and a 20-month-old.
All right, buddy. That's great. Congratulations. I'm so excited. I really am. It's wonderful to hear how it affects you in that respect, because you had no hope there for a while.
No.
And now you have two kids. Wow, I bet your wife's excited, isn't she?
Yes, very much so.
Oh, that's good. And what would you say to someone who finds out that they're going to have to be on dialysis, and is there another way? What would you say about home hemodialysis?
Honestly, I would tell them this is the premier option. If you went to your doctor and your doctor told you that you had any other ailment or affliction, you would want the absolute best means of either curing yourself or treating the problem. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing about being on dialysis. You want the absolute best treatment option, and that is the Next Stage System 1, hands down, without a doubt. Because I've tried them all, I can tell you that it's not even close.
If somebody said to you, what would you say to them about your journey if you had to do it all over again? Or had somebody say to you?
If I had to do it all over again, I don't think I would change a thing.
Okay.
I honestly don't.
And you wish somebody would have been there, but she was there in the end. God was listening to you, and she came to you, that technician, and said, there is another way, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. But my journey had to happen the way that it did for me to meet that person.
I agree with that.
As difficult as it was in the beginning and all the ups and downs that I went through, I can see now that it was a part of my journey. I had to do those things to get where I am now. So I wouldn't change a thing.
I can't thank you enough for joining us today. And I want I really do. And I want everyone to go to nextstage.com. Is your story up there?
I'm sure it is. Yes, ma'am.
I can't thank you enough. And I hope you have very, very happy holidays. And give your kids a big hug from me.
I will. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for your service and thank you for joining us. We'll be right back after these messages.
Catherine will be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Dan Perkins recently completed the third book of his series, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile, America Responds. Books 1 and 2, A Terrorist's Perspective and America Rebuilds, grabbed our attention and readers explored the scenario that could be pulled from today's news. While becoming involved with his lovable and hateable characters, Perkins weaves us through the ups and downs of what could be a true story. Never before has a writer so thoroughly engrossed us in his masterful words while making us realize the need to be diligent about the state of our country. For hours of reading pleasure, check out www.danperkins.com or get his books online at amazon.com.
Battlefield Earth by L. Ron Hubbard is once again on the top publisher's weekly bestsellers list. Originally published in 1982, this super science fiction story predates Star Wars and Star Trek and takes you on a wild ride beginning in 1977 and plummeting forward to the year 3000. With a backstory that will rock your imagination, you will meet characters that come alive as they fight for humans and all that we stand for. Rising out of a scorched earth, which is headed towards total extinction of both humankind and natural resources, Johnny Goodboy Tyler leads a remnant to fight an epic battle. Will they win? Its climactic ending will keep you on the edge of your seat. It's a book for all seasons and all generations to read and enjoy. Battlefield Earth has been relaunched by popular demand and is available in bookstores, on Amazon and Galaxy Press, in electronic or printed versions, and with an audio version read by 67 characters and 150,000 sounds. Battlefield Earth, a saga of the year 3000, will come to life in your home. Great holiday gift recommended for ages 13 and above. For more information, go to www.galaxypress.com.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. We're with Andrea Smith, and she's going to be talking about the latest tech items and things that we can get during the Christmas holidays or the holidays. Welcome to our show today.
Thanks for having me, Catherine.
You're welcome. So tell me what the best tech gift this year is. Can you tell me that?
You know, from my perspective, the best tech gift this year is a video game console, because it's not just for gamers, it's for the whole family. So
wow.
The new Sony PlayStation 4 Slim, well, it's an amazing video console because it's super slim and fits right on your bookshelf and along with your other electronics. It's more energy efficient and it's got powerful graphics. It's got a great bundle pack right now, bundled with the latest Uncharted 4, A Thief's End video game for $249. But here's why I love this for families. It has apps built in. So you can also use it as an entertainment device. You can watch Netflix through it, stream Hulu or Amazon Prime Video. So it's not just about gaming. It's about entertainment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in the world of tech trends, more quickly, what's the hot right now?
Virtual reality. And if you have not tried it, you need to go out and try it. This is the number one item on every kid's holiday wish list. PlayStation VR is super easy to use because it plugs right into the PlayStation 4. And it just gives an immersive virtual experience. People tell me all the time it's so hard to describe, but I can tell you it's the most realistic thing I have ever seen.
But you have to have the PlayStation 4 in order to be able to do that. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yeah, you download the games to the PlayStation 4. You put the games in the PlayStation 4, and the PlayStation VR is a headset that you wear that brings you that virtual reality experience.
Now, what does that run?
That's $399.
Okay, so and then what do the apps cost?
Well, then you would buy the games like any other video games, and those games run, I'm going to say an average of about $50. Some of them you can get for far less, and some of the brand new games might be a little more.
What's the hottest game out there right now, reality-wise?
For virtual reality, there's lots of new games coming onto the market. I was playing a game the other day called London Heist that that my son absolutely loved. I was just doing more of a walk around of virtual reality, but there's definitely a lot of games. There's one called Rigs. There's one called VR Worlds, which kind of offers a virtual experience. So there's games for everyone out there.
Wow. So if you're looking for your niece or your nephew or your grandchild, and if you have a lot of these kids, what's the most affordable option out there in the tech world right now?
Well, that's what's so amazing about games is that you can buy games for kids. They love to play them. They've got Ratchet and Clank, and they've got Lego games. And kids, even the younger kids who can't quite hold a controller yet, love to watch the older kids play these games. Other hot items, you know, kids are loving playing with these kind of personalized pint-sized robots that are out there. Some of them more affordable than others, but, kids love to do anything having to do with technology.
Well, the funny part about it is I bought a few years ago a dinosaur or whatever it was for my granddaughter, and she was really, I thought she was ready for it, but she wasn't. It scared the living pants off of her. And so I think the little dinosaur is in a corner somewhere, so you have to think about age-appropriate as well, correct?
Absolutely. You've got to think about age appropriateness. And, I mean, for older kids, I love the STEM games, you know, games that teach science, technology, engineering, and math, because kids get to build things like a Lego. You can get a Lego set, bring it to life, and then play it as a video game. So there's so many cool things out there for kids, but you definitely have to be aware of that experience, of that age range.
Yeah, that's really important. So what would be the thing, age, is there anything out there for toddlers yet, or is it age 5 and above?
Well, in terms of technology, I mean, the funny thing is that there's technology built into almost everything now.
I know.
I mean, you can even get, I saw a really cute, remember Cabbage Patch dolls?
Yes.
So now they have, like, I think it's called Baby So Real Cabbage Patch doll, that has sensors in it. And so it would be for a much younger child to play with a doll, and when you hold the bottle or the spoon up, it senses what you're holding and responds accordingly. So that's a fun game until they're a little bit older. And then once they see those kids playing video games, they're going to want to play. And, you know, it's not all about sitting on the couch. They've got games that get kids up dancing. You can have a dance party. You can sing. You know, it's very social now.
Yeah, I know, and she's my granddaughter's 6, and she's real social. And I'm just trying to think of what I can get her for Christmas. I'm doing it after the holidays. I don't get there until the 29th.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking after. Is after Christmas a good time to go, or should I get it now before Christmas?
Well, it depends. If you're looking for something that's a hard-to-get item, get it now. If you want to wait and you think there'll be a lot of it and see if it goes on sale right after Christmas, that's always a good strategy, too. But if you're looking for one of those new games right now that you might not be able to find, you better get shopping.
Right. So with so many gaming auctions, what's worth the spend?
Well, I think these bundle packs. Right? I think that because, you know, you buy a game console for $249, these bundle packs that come bundled with a video game, definitely worth the spend. Video games, you know, again, looking at the age appropriateness for your kids and the ESRB rating on the game, the Lego games, Lego Harry Potter, Lego Dimensions, those are all really fun games, again, that the whole family can play, so worth the money.
Right, and I can't wait. I can't wait to try some of this new technology out. I can't thank you enough for joining us. Where can people go to get more information?
Head over to us.playstation.com for more information on all of this.
thank you so very much for joining us, and we'll be right back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk.
Catherine will be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Are you one of the millions of Americans suffering from PTSD, anger management, addictions, or negative self-image? There is a way to overcome these issues without prescription drugs. Eileen Darden, certified neurointegration, reflexology, and brain health coach, can help you change the way your brain and body interact, exchanging positive thoughts for negative ones. This tried and proven approach could be the answer you're seeking. I did, and I have positive results. You can contact her at a private place today for a new look at an old issue. Call Eileen Darden at 937-681-0184. That's 937-681-0184.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. Our expert, Dr. James Butler, is the original smile artist. As one of the most recognized implant and mini implant specialists in Ohio, Dr. Butler at Innovative Dental Implants, or IDI, has perfected the art of dental implants while keeping the price affordable. If you're one of the thousands who need an implant for any reason, Dr. Butler can provide just what you need. He's been on many extreme makeover programs, and he's an expert on Let's Just Talk. When looking for an affordable implant at a fair price, call IDI at 614-529-0062 or visit us at IDISmile.com.
iMarketing.com provides easily editable websites to small business owners. And if they don't want to make the changes to the site themselves, they can simply email their changes to iMarketing.com and they'll take care of it at no additional cost. Websites cost only $795, and hosting, which includes all maintenance to the website, is only $39.95 a month. iMarketing.com is also a Google certified partner, which means you'll get your website listed on over 1,000 search engines across the internet very quickly. iMarketing.com works with Google daily to create campaigns and to optimize them. Let iMarketing.com help you get your share of the web by calling 513-942-7869, or you can email iMarketing.com at sales@imktg.com today.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. You know, a recently released Bank of America USA Today Better Money Habits report finds that for 18 to 26-year-olds in Ohio, the definition of adult has really changed. It's less about age and more about financial independence. 46% of those surveyed did not feel like adults when they turned 18. When asked to define adulthood, having a job and financial independence were the top responses. Today, our guest is Bank of America Ann Marie Warren. She will discuss the highlights of the survey result and resources that are available for those looking for guidance when it comes to personal finance. Good morning, and how are you today?
Good morning, Catherine. I'm fine, thank you.
You know, what does the report reveal about, and this study was done in Ohio, is that correct?
It was done nationally, but we were able to dissect the data at a state level, which I think is interesting.
Right. What does the report reveal about Ohio's millennials' financial attitudes?
Well, what I think is not surprising is that 18 to 26-year-olds share our hearty Midwestern optimism and pragmatism. In fact, what's interesting is the majority of Ohio young adults feel optimistic about their financial prospects. Interestingly, that level was notably higher than the national average for optimism, and yet they are worrying about the economy, jobs, and carrying a significantly higher average student loan debt than their peers nationally. As a result, over 60% are worrying about finding a career path that can support their lifestyle ambitions.
What findings surprised you the most?
We saw two interesting themes emerging. The first, clearly, as we just discussed, is a heightened anxiety around money management skills. A very low percentage of young adults are feeling confident in their money management skills, and that confidence didn't materially increase based on education level, whether high school or college graduation. In fact, I guess if we reflect back, these young adults were in high school and college through the Great Recession and likely experienced economic challenges, at least witnessed them among their family and broader community. Historically, parents have been primary educators on money management skills, and I'm not sure, perhaps, that parents are feeling confident in their ability to provide great education to their children on these manners, on these matters.
Why does this possibly redefine what it means to be an adult for this generation? And do you think they're going to move out of house by 26?
Well,
right? I'm hoping with the new president and the way the financial markets are going right now that they will, you will do another survey in, you know, a few months to see what the situation is going to be next.
I think it's an interesting question. You know, when I was growing up, I was looking to turn 18, and my parents, you know, started presenting me with a weekly bill for staying in the house after I came back from college in order to ensure that I moved out. It's a different world today, and where 18 in, you know, many people's minds was adulthood, I think financial independence is clearly being characterized as that milestone. As you note, about half the this population are still cocooning with their parents. And I know there's been a lot of hand-wringing around kind of failure to launch, parents wondering when they're going to get their child off the couch and into their own world. But I think, you know, it's a different world.
I think it's the parents' fault as much as it is the child's fault
or
the young adult's fault. Because if you don't lay, like you said, the ground rules right, and I mean, your parents and my parents did the same thing, right?
But you know what I think is interesting is everybody really went through this very devastating experience with the market. And so perhaps we can look at it a little more optimistically and that maybe parents are allowing their children to build a safety net. What I think the data showed us is that while those children are staying at home, it's not that they're perhaps not going out and starting to make their way in the world, but they are starting to get jobs and save and pay down debt. You know, I noted that in Ohio, surprisingly, there's a higher level of student loan debt. So perhaps families are really kind of embracing those traditional nuclear family values and supporting one another through these early years. Hopefully, what we're seeing is that 25% of these young people are investing in corporate, you know, company-offered retirement plans. You know, our parents, our grandparents anyway, had the benefit of knowing that they could work a steady job until they retired. At that point, they could draw on perhaps a pension and health benefits provided by the company. That world is completely gone. And so encouraging early savings, I think, is what our goal is in developing, in taking the survey and understanding how to engage kind of rising members of our economy in that early savings and future savings. And so we created these tools, the bettermoneyhabits.com educational resources, not just for these young people, but for whole families. And there are a ton of resources available to help people understand how to engage in the economy and to help parents perhaps even know how to guide that child on that journey.
And it would like, you know, I see more and more parents saying, you know, you have to save, you have to do this. I think that that's the reason why we've got a new president, a different one. And I think that the economy is going to change. I think people are going to be able to save more. I think the taxes are going to go down. I think things are going to change to a point where people can reinvest or invest again. And those parents may be able to say to their children, guess what? We want to be empty nesters. You're going to have to leave.
Well, and what parents can do to encourage that, you know, my parents took the money and they spent it, right? But parents today could say, you know what, you're going to pay us whatever that number is that's comfortable for the family, $50, $100 a week, to live in our house, to eat our food. You're going to continue to contribute to the family livelihood, cleaning, et cetera.
Wait a minute. Make it a little bit more expensive than that, or are you going to have them living till they're 36 with you?
I am guessing that something's happened.
Charge them $500 a month or $1,000 a month, what it would cost them to rent an apartment. The minute you say that, they'll be out looking.
It worked for me, and I don't think children have changed much. I think that putting a monetary value on staying at home, even if the family has the means to put that into an account and deliver that to the child in the form of some investment account, when they leave, kind of that 3 month emergency safety net that you know, kind of conventional wisdom suggests is that is the right number to have, and then push them out of the nest. Say, you've got your emergency safety net, and now launch.
And then the other thing is start looking with them.
Absolutely.
Start officially looking with them, finding that's what parents can do to change the situation, because if you don't, I know parents that have 36-year-olds still living with them. And so, no, I'm not joking. In Ohio, it happens. All across the country, it happens. Or they come back. You know, I'm lucky that my kids are, thank God, in their 40s and 50s, you know, and are just starting to be 50. And they are now dealing with that same situation. And really, to be honest about it, you know, it's important for us as adults, and parents, to be able to have some kind of a life, you know. If you give them everything, okay, 3 months I can understand, but after that, no more. But, you know, it gets to a point where they expect it.
You know, it's interesting this theme that we're experiencing of both kind of children couch surfing and the boomerang experience of kind of middle-aged people moving back home. And perhaps the biggest thing that we can do as parents is to help model financial skills for our children. We're historically a very wealthy society, despite going through the, quote, Great Recession, relative to our parents and grandparents and et cetera. And so perhaps even adults have been able to get away without having good financial discipline. So maybe it's an opportunity for a family discussion around our financial lives. So maybe everybody sit down and do their own basic self-assessment, financial self-assessment. Know what assets you have, maybe a savings account, a car, a cell phone, and then know your liabilities, so credit card debt, student loan debt, car notes, et cetera. And then, so that's your kind of personal balance sheet, and then do a personal profit and loss statement. So list the sources of reliable projected income, and then list the expected expenses, so insurance, cell phones, student loans, rent, food, et cetera. And then look at what the difference is in that number, and hopefully it's a positive number, and talk about that positive number, that discretionary income, and how you're going to divide it between near, medium, and long-term financial priorities, whether it's a new suit or an important trip or, you know, saving for health care, et cetera. The BetterMoneyHabits.com website that was developed has all kinds of tools to help find the language and templates for those discussions. And the primary goal of that conversation is to feel confident in your own approach to financial well-being and to be able to model that for your child so that they can start adopting a saving discipline now in their early earning years, and that discipline can cement into a routine.
I can't thank you enough for joining us. Would you repeat that website one more time?
BetterMoneyHabits.com.
I can't thank you enough for joining us and giving us all this wonderful information and helping empty nesters become empty nesters.
Thank you, Catherine.
You're welcome. Happy holidays. Thank you very
much.
Bye,
you too.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Riker, sponsored by Backwell, Dan Perkins, Mandel Brown Plastic Surgery, Next Stage, IDI Dentistry, iMarketing,
Clay Harlan with United Real Estate. A Private Place Reflexology. Inbalance Body Therapy. Paolo, a modern jeweler. Songs and Stories for Soldiers and Ultimate Air Shuttle.
On W4CY.